Let's pray, and then we'll sing a song or two. Well, if you would lead us, please, Father.
Heavenly Father, I thank this time for you to pray safely and securely at your house, once again, Lord. We're working over our prayers and our praises and the reading, Lord, and the preaching, Lord, and our thoughts and our minds, Lord. We fully accept them on your side, Lord, and give us a blessing for your love. We also go back to God, keep safe and well, Lord. Also pray John and Catherine back to church again, Lord. Save their souls, mighty powerful, make their need as they need it, Lord. Also go Frank, Lord, keep safe and well in London, love from my home, keep safe and well, Lord. Also go Paul, love from my home, keep safe from all harm, bring them close work to you. Also go Carl and John, and Stephen, Lord, give them also make their need and help them mighty powerful as well, Lord. Also go Stephen Pat, Lord. We're Stephen DeFiasco, keep safe and well, Lord, as well, Lord. We're for Mrs. Dearking, Lord, and our operation, Lord. Keep her safe and well, Lord. Keep her in pain and suffering, and Lord, stop her condition getting worse, Lord. And mightily, powerfully heal her, and Lord, meet her every need as well, Lord, with physical and mental, and medically as well, Lord. Lord, pray for us, you at this time. Save the Jews, Lord. Protect them. Keep them with body, mind, and physical, Lord, safe from any harm, Lord, and send messengers, and send preachers, Lord, and send thy message throughout Israel, Lord, say so mightily and powerfully, Lord, with Jew, Christian, and Arab as well, Lord, say the mighty and powerful, Lord, for no respect to persons with thee as well, Lord. Give Marcus to deliver the gospel, and give him a blessing, give Marcus from the Spirit, Lord, and reach out to your souls, Lord, and bring more cheer with thee, and this on, for thy honor, for thy glory, for thee, amen.
Amen. Thanks, Ron. Amen. If you'd like to take our big hymn books this evening and go to 234, I haven't sung it for a bit, but I think we know He is so precious to me. Hymn number 234. Matthew, do you have an inkling of just exactly what the Lord has done for each one of us? He is a good God and he loves us the best. Amen. If you want to scoot back a page or two to 137. 137. If there ever was a hymn that suited these days, this is it. In times like these, you need a Savior. If you're fit, we'll stand as we sing. If you're not, just remain seated, but make a joyful noise. Hymn number 137.
Which is beyond the rivers of Ethiopia, the send of ambassadors by the sea, even vessels of bulrushes upon the water, saying, Go ye ambassadors to a nation scattered and healed, to a people terrible from their beginning, hitherto a nation meted out and trodden down, whose land the rivers have swallowed. All ye inhabitants of the world and dwellers on the earth, see ye when he lifted up an ensign on the mountains, and when he bloweth a trumpet, hear ye. For so the Lord said unto me, I will take my rest, and I will consider in my dwelling place like a clear heat upon herbs, and like a cloud of dew in the heat of harvest. For afore the harvest, when the bud is perfect, and the sour grape is ripening in the flower, he shall both cut off the sprigs with pruning hooks, and take away and cut down the branches. Then shall be left together unto the floods of the mountains, and to the beasts of the earth, and the fall shall summer upon them, and all the peace of the earth shall winter upon them. In that time shall the present be brought unto the Lord of hosts, of a people scattered and peeled, from a people terrible from the beginning, hitherto, a nation meted out and trod on the foot, whose land the rivers have spoiled, to the place at the name of the Lord, hosts of Mount Zion. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you.
Well, I was just getting into that and then you stopped. Amen. Thank you. Thank you for that. Amen. It's very sad to realize as you read so much of, we mentioned this morning, Isaiah and Jeremiah, just how much today's society echoes the things that God warned the children of Israel not to be doing. A lot to be prayed for. Please make sure you get one of those little blue prayer lists. It's dated the 18th and the 25th of February. I don't think there's anything extra in it except the private prayer requests have been marked out. There's Christine, do you any private prayer requests? You don't have to tell us what they are, and we just ask the Lord to grant your private prayer requests according to His will. But if you haven't, you do. We'll put you down. We'll put you down. Not in the dairy sense, but in the note-taking sense. So.
Christian education needs a big prayer.
Oh,
I think. Not. Well, money needs a bigger one.
Yes, you were saying.
Mm-hmm.
It's time for somebody to shine.
It's not me. I'm afraid.
There's a man of my work and his daughter is around about 2 or 3, she got cancer.
2 or 3 year old?
Yes.
Oh, goodness.
She's got a child called Ella. E-L-A.
Do you know what kind of cancer?
Liver cancer.
Oh,
goodness. And her only 2 or 3, she must have been born with that, was she?
I don't know.
That's awful. That is awful. Certainly pray for Ella and the Christian school and the amazing opportunities that so many people have to step into the breach and the blessings that they're robbing themselves of from being there or even the life lessons. So please do pray about that. Is anybody, what about Patrick's dad? Has he improved then?
Yep. He's born this week. The operator put a stent in, and then they repaired the tear, and
Lord was definitely looking at him. I have heard of people having that sort of injury on operating tables, and they still couldn't do anything for him. So that would be one that would certainly have you making sure you were right with God. Mm-hmm. Is he a saved man? No. Pray for that's Christine's son-in-law, Will's brother-in-law, his father is he a Catholic man?
Oh no, they were Anglicans.
Anglican, all but Catholic then. As the fella said, just a paper wall. Instead of the Pope, they have the King. But please do pray for Patrick's dad. That is serious. I pray that maybe a good friend that knows the Lord will have an opportunity to speak to him. Please do remember, the Lord knows what our private prayer requests are. Please don't forget to keep praying for those. And our thanks are, we didn't get tracking this weekend because I'm getting over about pancreatitis and appreciate your prayers. Thanks for Norman's leg picking up a wee bit, for answered prayers and continued blessings. Is anything else? Oh, good. Right, let's have a wee word of prayer.
Just reminded that Ed Bissett's training.
Oh, yes, that's right.
Tomorrow at 1 o'clock.
Ed Bissett, the pastor up in Temple Patrick at Claddywater Baptist. He had cancer removed from his bladder, and seemingly well removed, but they're leaving, I think it is, basically flooding his bladder with BCG vaccination, because seemingly that will kill any cancer cells that are in there. Makes you wonder what it did to you when you were little, but there you go. They're using that to kill any residual cancer cells. He's got 6 weeks of that, then a couple of weeks of a break, and then another 2 or 3 weeks. Possible side effects are flu-like symptoms. But what was that for? That was for BCG. What was it? What's the
TB?
TB. So he's obviously going to get a little bit of TB symptoms from the fever symptoms. Please do pray for him if you will. He's a good lad. He's a good man. I want to tell you something. There have been a lot of missionaries that have come to this country over the years of being and gone. Ed Bissett, he's going to hang his hat here, I do believe. He's been here for 40, 50 years.
Well, was Amy's 43 and she was born here.
So all his kids born here are born in the time that he started here. He's a good guy. Please do pray for him and his wife Joan at this time. Definitely a worrying. Anyway, let's have a word of prayer, and then we'll sing another song. Dear loving Heavenly Father, we do indeed thank you, Lord, we thank you for your promise that we can come into the holiest, and all we're into your very presence, simply because we're your adopted children. And I thank you for that promise, Lord. I thank you that there's nothing too awful that we can't talk to you about, and there's nothing too good that we don't need to talk to you about. And I pray you please, Lord, that you would look on us and you would search our hearts. Lord, that you would teach us and guide us. Lord, that you would forgive us. I pray you, Father, please, especially for Ed and his treatment. I pray you, Lord, for Christine and her hip and her back. I pray you for Norman, Lord, and the continued pain of his leg. I pray you too, Lord, for John and Catherine from this morning, for that shoulder reconstruction surgery that he had. I pray that would go well, and that even now you'd be working in their hearts about salvation and about going on with the Lord, please. Thank you, Lord, for all your many helps, and I do, Lord, I am sure many prayers have been lifted up for Patrick's dad and that surgery that he had to go through. I pray you, Lord, please, for an opportunity for Patrick to talk to his dad and point him to the foot of the cross. For the Christian school in Ballymoney, Lord, needing a new teacher. And I pray you, Lord, for young people to stand up and be counted, to take these opportunities, these gaps in the wall, as opportunities to stand forward and do something for God and realize the blessings and the growth that can be obtained whenever you dare to be a diamond. I pray you, Lord, please, that you would forgive us and refresh us and strengthen us, chasten us, Lord, comfort us, Father, whatever it is, I pray you, things that we need today, our daily bread, spiritually speaking and even physically speaking, that you would supply. I pray you for Frank, Ling and Dr. Shine, pray you for Colin, for Pat and Steve, for Carol and Stephen. I pray for all of these people, Lord, that have been and gone, and looking forward to having them back again, Lord. And I pray especially for Kathleen and John for their salvation. Please bless Israel and provision them and protect them, Lord. And all those, Lord, that hate Israel and it's not too hard to find them, Father. I pray that you would oppose them at every turn. I pray for great conviction for them all, Lord. And I pray for those that love Israel, Lord, that's not saved, that you would show them the adoption of sons and the free gift of everlasting life. And I pray for Israel themselves. And, oh, Lord, your word says they will be saved en masse whenever they see you. But I pray, Lord, even now that souls would be saved. That is our desire. For all the leaflets that have gone out and the words that have gone out, for the Bibles that have gone out, for our personal testimonies, Lord. We just want to see folks saved. Please look after our family. Please help us to be a good and faithful witness to our neighbours and friends. And Lord, we just love you and thank you. And we ask this, and of course, for our private prayer requests, Father, in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Thank you for loving us, Lord. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Does anybody have a hymn that they would like for us all to sing this evening? If you don't have one, I will certainly find one.
Oh, I've eaten of that book. Christ the Savior, sinners.
Sure. Hymn number 8 in the black book. Let's turn there. And we'll remain seated as we sing. We haven't sung this one for a while. Keep them fresh in our minds. Christ the Savior, sinners. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5.
Thank you.
Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, Joshua, Judges, Ruth, 1st and 2nd Samuel, 1st and 2nd Kings, about the 8th or 9th book in the Old Testament. Amen. It's good to see you all here this evening. It's good to know that we have a God that loves us, no matter the shape we're in. I would hate to be in the health and wealth and prosperity gospel, but I don't think I would qualify as saved. I'm sure there's a few of us wouldn't qualify as saved. But it's good to belong to a God that only wants you to dump your sins and make room for the Holy Spirit and to repent of your sins and ask Him to save you and to know that He keeps you in the palm of His hand, regardless who you are, what you've done, or what anybody else has done to you. Amen. I'm going to speak just for a few minutes this evening on the subject of in moment. In a moment. This is about the breaking up of the children of Israel, of the kingdom of Israel, into the kingdom of Judah and the kingdom of Israel. Judah being the godly, supposedly, part of the children of Israel, and the kingdom of Israel being the worldly part of God's people. So let's see what the Word of God has to say this evening. We'll not read it all, but we'll be reading about it. And Rehoboam, that is King Solomon's son, went to Shechem, for all Israel were come to Shechem to make him king. And it came to pass, when Jeroboam, the soon-to-be king of Israel, the son of Nebat, who was yet in Egypt, heard of it, for he was fled from the presence of King Solomon, and Jeroboam dwelt in Egypt, that they sent and called him. And Jeroboam and all the congregation of Israel came and spake unto Rehoboam, saying, Thy father made our yoke grievous. Now therefore make thou the grievous service of thy father, and put his heavy yoke which he put upon us lighter, and we will serve thee. And he, that is Rehoboam, said unto them, Depart yet for 3 days, then come again to me. And the people departed. And King Rehoboam consulted with the old men that stood before Solomon his father while he yet lived, and said, How do you advise me that I may answer this people? And they spake unto him, saying, If thou wilt be a servant unto the people this day, and wilt serve them, and answer them, and speak good words to them, then they will be thy servants forever. But he forsook the counsel of the old men, which they had given him, and consulted with the young men that were grown up with him, and which stood before him. And he said unto them, What counsel give ye that we may answer this people, who have spoken to me, saying, Make the yoke which thy father did put upon us lighter? And the young men that were grown up with him spake unto him, saying, Thus shalt thou speak unto this people that spake unto thee, saying, Thy father made our yoke heavy, but make it lighter unto us. Thus shalt thou say unto them, My little finger shall be thicker than my father's loins. And now, whereas my father did lead you with a heavy yoke, I will add to your yoke. My father hath chastised you with whips, but I will chastise you with scorpions. So Jeroboam and all the people came to Rehoboam the third day, as the king appointed, saying, Come to me again the third day. And the king answered the people roughly, and forsook the old men's counsel that they gave him, and speak to them after the counsel of the young men, saying, My father made your yoke heavy, and I will add to your yoke. My father also chastised you with whips, but I will chastise you with scorpions. Wherefore the king hearkened not unto the people, for the cause was from the Lord, that he might perform his saying which the Lord spake by Ahijah the Shilonite unto Jeroboam the son of Nebat. So when all Israel saw that the king hearkened not unto them, the people answered the king, saying, What portion have we in David? Neither have we an inheritance in the son of Jesse. To your tents, O Israel, now see to thine own house, David. So Israel departed unto their tents. But as for the children of Israel, which dwelt in the cities of Judah, Rehoboam reigned over them. Then King Rehoboam sent Adoram, who was over the tribute, and all Israel stoned him with stones that he died. Therefore King Rehoboam made speed to get him up to his chariot to flee to Jerusalem. So Israel rebelled against the house of David unto this day. And it came to pass, when all Israel heard that Jeroboam was come again, that they sent and called him unto the congregation, and made him king over all Israel. There was none that followed the house of David, but the tribe of Judah only. Amen. That is our Bible reading this evening, and I want to speak on the subject of In a Moment of Time. Or you could call it Making Bad Decisions. Or How Your Decisions Will Haunt You for the Rest of Your Life. Something cheery and uplifting to see us through to the start of the week. Let's pray. And bearing we'll continue. Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord. Thank you for your word. Thank you for the good sense and the ability to read it. Please bless this time that we spend around it, Lord, and help us to see and to hear and to understand, and to listen to you, Father. We really do need you, Lord, especially as the days get darker. Let us always remember to lift up our eyes when the things are going bad around us and to put them on you, the solid rock that never changes from yesterday, today, or forever. Love you and thank you, and pray all this, Lord, in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. I have heard it said that the Old Testament does not really apply to us anymore. I am going to tell you something. I'll tell you what one man said. The new is in the old contained, and the old is in the new explained, or something along that lines. They are intricately linked to each other. And it is the same God of the Old Testament that came to give us life on the cross of Calvary for us. And it is well worth listening to these things and reading these and understanding that our lives can be changed by one decision, either good or bad, just as surely and definitely as the life in the kingdom of Israel was changed in this particular instant. We stand now in the history as we read this portion of God's word. Solomon, King Solomon, the wisest man that the world has ever seen. He knew so much. Sadly, in his later life, he didn't put so much of it into practice. But he knew so much. And he had children. He had 1,000 wives and concubines. I don't know how many children he had. But one of the things about the kingdom was that he had, the Queen of Sheba came to visit him and brought herbs and spices and all sorts of stuff. And one of the things she noted as he gave her a tour, that the people measured gold, but they never measured silver. There was so much gold in the country. There's so much gold, so many beautiful creatures, the hanging gardens and all sorts of wonderful stuff. And of course, the wisdom of Solomon, renowned across the world. We even look to it today. As we read Proverbs and as we read Ecclesiastes. There's some good reading in there. And I think if young people read those two books today, they'd be far better equipped to go out into the world instead of listening to, what do you call that, RSE and life and learning and whatever else it is. So as we open this portion of God's word, Rehoboam has been crowned king. And he has come to present, all the people have come to present themselves to him, and they have this one thing. They say, if you make our burden lighter, we'll serve you, because your folly was quite sore upon us. And you need to know, friends, that one of the things that the Lord said to Samuel to tell the people before they anointed Saul king was that the king is going to take his tithe from you. And it'll not just be in your crops, it'll be in your maidens and your sons. Your sons to fight in the army, your maidens to work as singers and cooks and chefs and all of that stuff there. This was going on for at least three generations. Saul and David and Solomon, and now here we are at Rehoboam. And just like people sometimes will get tired of giving to the church, and when a wee worldly, a monkey on your back starts whispering things in your ear about, well, why should we do this and why should we do that? But people say to Rehoboam, make our burdens lighter. Things are tough. And Rehoboam does two things. Like any king, he goes to his advisors. A good king always surrounded himself with smart men. And he went to the men that had stood with Solomon, his dad. Now you bear in mind, you start to reflect the company that you keep. That is why the Bible says, evil communications corrupt good manners. In other words, stay away from bad people. Don't go being all judgmental, but stay away from bad people. And so he listened to them, and in their wisdom, in listening to Solomon, in learning from Solomon, and seeing the wisdom of Solomon written down and practiced in the court day by day, and seeing the great effects that it had in the country, they said, lighten their load be their servant for one day. In other words, accede to their wishes, and they'll serve you forever. They will be your servants forever. And he considers this. And he does then what all young people do. What do those old fogies know? I'm young and fit and strong. Look at the kingdom that my Father has given me. I literally am at peace with the whole world. I have so much money that, goodness, I don't even know how much I have. I have servants, I have maidservants, I have animals, I have soldiers. I have towns and palaces. Look at all this stuff that I have. And he goes to the young fellows, the ones that were raised up with him, with all of this luxury, with all of these soldiers, with all of the pomp and glory that came with being in the king's court and being the king's son and his hangers-on, said, this is what you tell him. He said, you think that my father made a heavy burden for you? He says, I'm going to add to it. And my father might have chastened you with whips, but I'll chasten you with scorpions, so not only will there be a sting whenever it hits you, but there'll be a nagging pain and a doubt afterwards. In fact, he says, do you know what? My little finger will be thicker than my father's loins. In other words, this is only the start of your problems. And young Red Warren Muslim and said, do you know what? I like that more. I like the thought of imposing my will upon the people, just as my father did years and years and years ago. But you need to know there's nowhere does it say that the Lord was blessing Rehoboam. You need to get just remember that. And so he goes back and tells them it. He goes back, considers the old fogies. Ah, they're old, what do they know? And he thinks, those young men, they play to my pride. Always be careful about surrounding yourself with people that agree with you all the time. You need people that are going to say, hold on a wee second. Two heads are better than one, and you're better being, what is it they say, you're better being criticized by a friend than applauded by an enemy. The wounds of a friend are faithful. And I'll tell you what, there might be a few places around this church that might not be exactly square. Norman had agreed with everything that I had done, or I agreed with everything that Norman was planning to do. Two heads are better than one. And so Rehoboam, he just goes out there and he, in just a moment, in one speech, in the time it took for him to say the things that we just said, life's going to get tough for you. People all go home. We just say, what's the point? If we stay with David, if we stay under the rule of the house of David, we're going to be ground into the ground, and they all go home. And so the very next thing he does is up to say, right, I'm going to show you guys now. You just walk home with your murmuring and your mumbling. And he says, Adoram, I think that's his name, isn't it? Adoram, he says, go you and get the money that they owe me. And so he goes out to get the money off him. He gets stoned to death. And Rehoboam suddenly realizes his error. Because that fellow went with the king's authority, and the people, by stoning the king's messenger, said, we do not recognize your authority. And just like that, Israel was split in two. One tribe, Judah, was all that the house of David was left ruling over. And this other fellow, Jeroboam, that Solomon had the knives out for, he came in and swept up the other 10, the other 11. The Bible goes on to say that Jeroboam also made 2 golden calves, so you can see where that's going. He was the cause of great trouble in the nation of Israel, as opposed to the nation of Judah, when he had people worshipping these in Dan and one other place, so that they wouldn't go up to the temple, so that he would keep them away from any of God's influence. But that's how the nation split. And a punishment, I do believe, from God that went all the way back to David, from the time that David committed adultery with Bathsheba. And we know that Solomon didn't come from that, but he brought great shame on Israel. And there was a price to be paid. And of course we know that Solomon in his later life gave in to all of his wives, the younger wives that were worshipping all of these devils, and even caused some of his own children to pass through the fire as they worshipped Molech. And that just shows you, no matter what your age is, keep your eyes on the Lord. Even if you are on your own keeping your eyes on the Lord, while everybody else is up to everything else, keep your eyes upon the Lord. As I was reading that, I was astounded at just how quickly someone's fortunes could change. Just like that. His fortune, the fortune he thought he had, he ended up with less than a tithe of it, less than a tenth of it. His army, he only had a tenth of his army. His land holdings, a tenth of his land holdings. His riches, a tenth of his riches. Just like that. Just because he couldn't get past himself. Just because he was entitled. You never be entitled with God. You be humble and you be ready to let God lead you. And you will come across riches far greater than goodness what Rehoboam. Can you imagine all the rest of the days of his life him having to hang his head compared to what he was? All the rest of the days of his life ruin the fact that he ignored the men that had been with the smartest man in the world, the smartest man in the world, and listen to those agents that caused them so much trouble. Always keep your ears and eyes on Jesus Christ. Things can change very quickly in this world. We have seen over the past 4 years. I remember the fortnight that I was in hospital at the end of 2019 and the start of 2020, how quickly the world changed. Somebody was sitting in an office somewhere and said, there's my signature on this piece of paper, let's get this ball rolling. And then all of a sudden, the world was closed down for a flu. It was a bad flu right enough, but the world was closed down for a manufactured flu. And things really changed. Things changed so much, in fact, that now instead of duly elected democratic leaders, we have merely the 10 kings we read about in Revelation. All over the decisions of some very, very bad people. But this is church after all. So let's think more spiritually. Let's think about how that all applies to us. I have seen over the years of my life, and now I remember standing up in front of church in my first sermon and talking about, I actually juggled in the pulpit, three balls. I said, that's not bad, is it? I was even able to juggle two in one hand and put the other one in. I'm able to keep it going for three or four passes. And I got a few chuckles from the folks in the congregation. I said, that's quite good. I said, yes, that is quite good, but God keeps every atom and molecule in the universe exactly where it needs to be at any given time. This is nothing. And go on to expound how great God is. Friends, I have seen the effects of people making bad decisions. And I have seen, I could point to the time in their lives when they gave themselves over to their pride or to their wealth or to their, as the Bible said in our reading this morning, their wealth or their wisdom or their might, instead of listening to what God said and seeing firsthand the downfall that it has brought to their family. And I can only say, it doesn't matter how you feel, and I'm not saying this to give off to you or to make little of what you feel, but to warn you, even when you feel outraged, bear in mind the right decision to make. Always bear in mind the right decision to make. And remember, as the Lord said, vengeance is mine, saith the Lord, I will repay. You don't want to be in the middle of ringing somebody's neck when the Lord's scheduled bolt of lightning just lands and hits them, because then it will hit you too. You don't want to be doing that. I have seen families destroyed. I have seen sin entered in and caused awful, awful trouble. in families. I have seen children ruined. It's terrible. And many Christians too. All of these, just about all of them Christian, but have walked away, and it has always been a step down when they let other people dictate their terms and listen to their bad ideas, even when the word of God is in front of them. I urge you, please, don't let your feelings dictate your actions. We all have them. And we've all come across that person whose neck we want to wring, or that person that you just want to give a good shake until all the pieces, you know, flop down into their right place and sense rains. We've all had them. The Lord says, do the right thing, no matter how you feel. Someday, people will pay for their foolish deeds. Christians in this world, lost people in the next, but it's normally a downward slide. All because of a decision made in a moment of time. Don't be like that. The thing about the Christian is, friends, we have options. You and I, with the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. You and I, with our history in the Word of God, with the times that we have sat in church, we have options. The lost man doesn't. He doesn't know that he has options. He is running around. He is given over to whatever the devil is shouting in his head, or whatever he's seen on TV, or whatever a friend at the bar told him. Give into it just like that. And never give a second thought to the consequences. Just doing whatever they feel like. What was it? Anton LaVey said, the foundational doctrine of Satanism is do what thou wilt shall be the whole of the law. In other words, just whatever you feel like, just go and do it. That's devilish teaching. And they go and do it. Because how can it be wrong when it feels so right? Isn't that not another saying that you hear? Friends, because we're in church, there's one decision that can be made in a moment of time, and I know you know what I'm going to say, and that is the decision that God lays out in front of you, even as a Christian. But before you be saved, to get saved, it is the greatest decision that any soul will ever make, greater than any decision President Trump will make in office, greater than any decision who's our current Rishi Sunak. Greater than any decision Rishi Sunak, the best decision he could make would be to resign and tear up any decisions that he has made over the past 2 years. Greater than Marie Curie's discovery of radiation and Louis Pasteur. Who was it discovered the antibiotics of penicillin? Was that Louis Pasteur?
Yeah.
Was it? Greater than that discovery, greater than that decision, and that is to discover that you need Jesus Christ as your Savior. And there's a reason it's called being born again, because it happens like that. There might be a great conviction on the run up to it, but the conversion process takes a moment. And it's the best decision anybody could ever make. In fact, in Romans 8 and verse 28, a verse that is very dear to my heart, because I don't know anybody who doesn't want their life to be lived the right way, to get the best out of their life. And it says, you will get the best out of your life, A, when you get saved, when you love the Lord, and B, whenever you listen to him and do what he says. All things work together for good to them that love the Lord and to them that are called according to his purpose. So even as a Christian, when you have all of these voices from your friends, from the TV, from the government, from all the many religions that are round about, and the monkey that still will sit on your shoulder and whisper into your ear, you still have a choice. Because, friends, it's not possible for you to be unsaved once you're saved. It is impossible. Once you're saved, you're going to heaven. God's not going to drag you kicking and screaming. You are going to heaven when your life is over once you're saved. Even as the Lord said, even the least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than John the Baptist. You know, do you know who the least is in the kingdom of heaven? Someone that got saved and never did a tap for Jesus. That's it. The least in the kingdom of heaven still had to overcome the world, the flesh, and the devil to trust Christ as their Savior. But every day as the Lord speaks to you through the Bible or my so eloquent and well thought out sermons, we have decisions to make. And one way or other, those decisions are important. They're important to us. Will we listen to God and do what he says? They're important to other people as we obey the Lord. Will they see God working in their lives? Well, what the Bible says, my word will not return unto me void. One way or the other, it will help you grow, or it will convict you, even as a Christian, that you need to grow. And when other people see you, when lost people see you, where is it that you go every Sunday night? Where is it that you go every Wednesday? What do you think? That's like someone saying, I'm a lost soul and I desperately need to hear something about something better than the life I'm living. And that's your cue to tell them, look, I go to church. I'll tell you the story that I've told before. Early in my Christian walk with God, I remember being in church, fired up. I was learning everything, soaking it up like a sponge. Many's a night I fell asleep on my knees with my face in the Bible, praying to God for myself and for souls and learning Bible verses. And one Monday morning, some idiot went and asked me what I had done at the weekend. Someone had cut the grass. Someone had painted the windows. Mark, what did you get up to at the weekend? And I thought, did anyone ever see that old film of the Terminator? And all the wee drop-down list of options came down. That's exactly what happened. One of them was, don't say a word and blend in with the crowd. The other one is preach the gospel. I said, I'm taking that one. So I clicked on that one in my head and I said, hey, I had a great weekend. On Friday, there was a Bible study, and we went and studied about the completeness of Christ's sacrifice on the cross. And on Saturday morning, we actually went out, and we were witnessing to people in their houses in the town. And then Sunday morning, the pastor preached about Noah's Ark and how that's a picture of the salvation that God has prepared for us. And Sunday evening, I was trying desperately to think of any and every Bible verse about the blessings that God would give us, just like I'm doing right now, and supplying our needs and our words as and when we need them. And if I'd had a pin, you would have heard it drop onto the table and bounce the whole way across. Needless to say, I wasn't ever asked what I did at the weekends ever again. But those are decisions that change your life, friends. Those are decisions that similarly take you from the broad road that leads to destruction, the goats on the left, to the straight and the narrow road that the sheep walk on the right. Those are the decisions that take you from being fearful to being trusting and believing in what the Word gives you. Because friends, we say we trust the government. I wouldn't trust the government as far as I could throw them. And I want to tell you why. Because they hate Christians. We have either a Hindu or a Muslim running the country, and there's legislation going in to make sure that, you're not allowed to pray outside of abortion clinics. You're not allowed to be anywhere near the places where we offer up our children to the god Molech and burn our little children in the fire for prosperity and wealth. You're not allowed near them. You're not allowed to warn homosexuals of sin and judgment to come in case they change their mind. I was just thinking about that the other day. It's okay for straight people to change to be homosexuals, but it's not okay for homosexuals to change back to being straight. They're not allowed to defend our children, the most precious, innocent part of our society, from these abusers, these perverts, that want our children to mutilate themselves. My goodness! Does anyone remember the big self-harm movement that came out about 15 years ago? When people would they'd cut themselves. And they'd be covered in scars in their arms. or cigarette burns, just so they could feel something. And they say, oh, that's awful. You shouldn't be doing that. And now they're encouraging little boys and little girls to be emasculated and to have mastectomies. And this is seen as normal. Our government does not like its people. I don't think there's too many governments that do. And we get the choice, friend. We have the choice. Because we know there is another way, a better way, to whether we serve the King of Kings or whether we just drift downstream like all the other dead fish floating to the top. Your life can change in a moment of time. And I would say to you, this government that puts itself out there as a great, wonderful saviour for whom we should die in a trench in Ukraine or Russia somewhere, whilst they pay for Mr. Zelensky to finance his $70 million yachts. I wouldn't believe a word they say. I have an option to believe everything they say or to believe what God says. The government is like sinking sand. The word of God and its teachings are the solid rock. And when you stand on them, you will never be disappointed. You will be thrilled beyond measure at what God can do with you and through you and for you whenever you do it His way. I can talk about it all I like, but I urge you, as you read the Bible and God speaks to you and says, "Work," have you ever thought about doing that? Do what God will. Does anyone ever remember Father, was it Dougal and Father Ted? That's right, Ted. I think I will. That's all we have to be, simple and trusting and believing. That's all. It was a simple soul in that stupid TV series of many years ago. That's all we have to be, is a simple and trusting soul. And just like little Samuel, whenever God calls, all we have to do is say, "Speak, Lord, thy servant heareth." It's all we've got to do. It's all we've got to do. Joshua summed it up very well in Joshua, I think it's Joshua, is it Joshua 9:24? When he said to all the people that were assembled in front of God, I'm going to paraphrase a little bit, he said, "Choose you this day whom you will serve." Even as Christians, we still have the choice and have to make a decision. "Choose you this day whom you will serve. Will it be the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell, or will it be the gods of our fathers in the far side of the flood? But choose whom you will serve." As for me and my house, what do they say? "We will serve the Lord." And your life can change, even as a Christian, in just a moment of time it takes you to say yes to God, or give me another 10 minutes, or no. It can be a fear-inducing thing, and it can even bring the stoutest of men and women trembling to their knees. But serving God is one of the greatest thrills that you will ever have in your life. Serving at the battlefront, contending for souls, even just doing your little bit, that little thing that makes a difference in somebody's life. Friends, if God called you, there's a reason. It means you are the man or the woman for the job, and I would urge you to do it. He loves you the best. He'll not ask you to do or to say anything that you're not fit and ready for. And I was just thinking of a children's address I did years ago, and then it'll be done. If I put up, it's all about superheroes with these primary school teachers, and I'm going to tell you, I think they even knew who Deadpool was, and he's a bit of a risky Marvel character. They all knew when I pulled up the three claws who it was. I knew it was Wolverine. They all knew when I put up the round circle with the red and the blue circles and the star in the middle, they knew that was Captain America. Or when you put up the the face, the iron, the helmet and head of Tony Stark. They knew it was Iron Man, and of course they knew the spider on the chest was Spider-Man. And the big S, everybody knows who the big S is, Superman. And I said to them, if Superman knocked at your door, and you came out, and your eyes were all big, and said, is that you, Superman? He says, of course it's me. If Superman said to you, come with me, and we will have many exciting adventures, and I promise I will bring you safely home. I would say most of the kids would be away, and probably some of the adults too. But the man upon whom Superman is based, Jesus Christ the Messiah, the immortal, indestructible Savior and Creator of the universe, knocks continually on the doors of men's and women's and boys' and girls' hearts. And he says exactly the same thing. Come with me, and we will have many interesting and exciting adventures, and I promise I will bring you safely home. Very few doors ever open, and very few people ever taken at his word. That word is true. God will help you the whole way, and that can change your life in just an instant whenever you say yes. Don't say no to God. Take him at his word. Trust him. He loves you so much. Thank you for your good time. God bless you. Got one hymn left to sing. If anybody has a favourite, I would entertain it. If you don't, I'll pick one.
Holy, 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 number 4.
Number 4 in the black book. If you're able, let's stand as we sing. Holy, holy, holy. Thank you.
Come on.
folks, thank you for your good time and attention. I know there's a lot of things clamoring for your attention, but I appreciate your faithfulness and pray that God answers private prayer requests and all the other ones that we have on our prayer list. Amen. Let's close our eyes and we'll bow our heads and be dismissed with the Father. Heavenly Father, thank you for this long bit of time that we've set aside. Please use all the songs that we've sung, the fellowship that we've had, the reading of your word and the teaching and preaching of it, Lord, to fuel us and direct us as the week goes on. Until the next time. And all the ones that we've heard before, Lord, please use them to build us up and to help us out in situations which will come up. Just thank you for loving us, and most of all for saving us, and for helping us make that decision, Lord, those years ago when we trusted you as our Savior. I pray you, Lord, that you wouldn't be done with us. Keep working in us and on us. Help us always to be a help. Please be with Bishop tomorrow. I pray you, Lord, too, for Catherine and John, and for John's shoulder to heal quickly. For Patrick's dad, Lord, for Lord, the many names that we have mentioned, especially Israel at this time, Lord, there's so much. We save lost souls and take and use us for. I love you and thank you. Amen. Amen. Folks, God bless you.
God bless her. First, getting her cataract operation on Tuesday.
Oh, is she?
And she has to go where for that again?
She has to go to my
hospital.
So, Daryl.
On Tuesday. Yes.
I take it Valerie is taking her.
No, Dara's taking her because Valerie has got an appointment.
Oh,
another appointment.
Yes.
So she.
Margaret Lightsey. Margaret Jenner was the same guy who got the.
That's good.
Cowpox from the smallpox.
Yes,
and I remember meeting him. I said Valerie was the guy that put the pencil.
I
met
him
in
Butler, but
I knew that.
I
just have to
go there and have my
shut up.
Why? Yes, please.
And then there's the thing of mommy,
that
you just didn't Google that there, you knew that.
I read the thing about Jenner from work, and we were just checking over paper,
right?
Examination papers, and I read about it. I thought,
I haven't
it's not worth it. Yeah.
They did a lot of prayer, you know, Jared and Sammy did a lot of prayer, because, in themselves, I mean, Jared was very kind to me, and Jared is one of the best young husbands I had. He's a good young man, and when Jared's not well, can come in. Cook, do everything like that. He's a very even tempered young man, and a hard worker and a good provider. And